Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
I got him right here, guys. Tyler Bass, a 61-yard field goal to end this game, essentially. Walk me through what's going through your mind and the kick as it's off your foot.
Man, it's been something that we've been working since training camp. I knew when we got there, just everything I've been through, I knew I was prepared and I trusted it. Great snap by Reed, great hold by Sam, and just thank Josh for getting us in range.
Tyler, you've been very upfront about what you've gone through this year, going back to last year and your struggles. For you to have the faith and the confidence to step up in that moment, what's that like for you?
Man, it just, hard work pays off, man. My old coach, Doc, used to tell me, you're only as good as your next kick. So, doesn't matter what I do before that, I'm only as good as my next kick, so I put my best foot forward in.
And then look over here at Bills Mafia. Everybody giving you all those cheers over there. What's that feel like for you, Tyler?
It's special, man. You know, we play here for our teammates, but we also play here for Bills Mafia, man. They're the best in the world, and so grateful.
One heck of a kick. Congratulations, brother.
Thank you.
All right, that is Tyler Bass after the game. I don't get to hear those interviews. Thank you for playing that. That was pretty cool. Last year, the interview I did on the field after the game with Sean McDermott after they won the division kind of went viral because it was really cool, and he was super emotional, and I got to hear it, and I'm like, yeah, that was cool, because I'm in the moment. I'm doing the interview. So thanks for playing that, Josh, because the natural sound of the fireworks in the background and the Bills fans chanting, A-A-A, right? That's pretty cool right there. So thank you very much. Tyler Bass after the game, 61-yard field goal. Josh Schmidt producing, by the way, here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo football victory Monday. It is brought to you by Catholic Health. Catholic Health, the right way to care. And by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Buffalo football Monday, as always, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And it rolls on later on after this show. We'll have One Bills Live. Shope and the Bulldog, of course. A lot going on today, including your phone calls. Let's get back after it. We'll get the sit-up, stand-down, hey, buddy, and everything else a little bit later. But first, Tony in West Seneca starts us off this hour. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Sal. I'm a first-time caller. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I've got one comment and one question.
Yep.
The first comment is about the spoiled fans. Oh, my God. Don't they remember the Shula era? And what about the bad kickers we've had, like Nick Mickemeyer? My dad used to call him Missemeyer.
That's pretty funny.
Good God in heaven. Yeah. The question is about the refereeing. You touched on it briefly. The two calls that we got for holding on Osiris and on Dion,
yeah.
My son and I watched it. We replayed them both in slow-mo. I didn't see any holding at all. I saw Miami holding all day long. Are they ever going to do anything about the bad refereeing? That's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. I'll just take it from what I saw or didn't saw. I mean, I didn't see anything blatantly obvious on the field, and then I see the penalty, but that happens a lot because I'm watching the play unfold. But I will tell you that I have not gone back and watched the game broadcast yet. Eric Wood shares your sentiment, Tony. Eric Wood was beside himself saying, how are these penalties? These are not penalties. Both of them. Deion Dawkins with one, Osiris Torrance with one. He said neither one of them should have been penalties. In the meantime, I see very questionable possible penalties on Ed Oliver about three or four times during the game grabbing him. And I'm not telling you they should have been called even. But I think you just have to be more consistent. When you say, are they ever going to do anything about the officiating? I don't know what you can do. I mean, you just got to hope they're better, right? I mean, yes, they get graded. Officials get penalized. They get rewarded depending on what games and assignments, all those kinds of things. So really interesting. Thanks. Appreciate the call, Tony. It was not a really terrifically officiated game yesterday. We've said that too many times over this year for sure. Rob in Tonawanda. Hi, Rob.
Thanks, Hal. Thanks for taking my call. How are you?
You got it. I'm good. Thank you.
So yesterday when Miami came onto the field for pregame warm-ups, I sit in section 138, and about the 10-yard line, Tyreek Hill turned in Brian Cox and started flipping off the entire Bills Mafia for no reason.
Okay. I didn't see that. This is the first I've heard of it.
Yeah, I mean, it was, like I said, it was pregame warm-ups. So we're on the Bills sideline opposite side of the tunnel. And he came in and just started flipping everybody off, being real rude. And he was mouthing something, but I couldn't hear him from where I was sitting. But he's the new Brian Cox of the Miami Dolphins, in my opinion.
All right, Rob. Well, you know what? They've had some players over the years, for sure, that Bills fans love to hate and vice versa, right? We'll see what happens with Tyreek Hill. There's been some rumblings that maybe he could be shopped and traded. I don't think he will be, but you never know. Tomorrow at 4 p.m. is the trade deadline. He's got some money left in his deal next year. The Dolphins could get out of that now by trading him. There's people who believe, hey, could the Kansas City Chiefs do that? I don't think so. Very unlikely to me that Kansas City would trade for Tyreek Hill and trade back for him. But I wouldn't completely shock me. I don't think they'll trade him. Calais Campbell could be on the move. That's a guy the Bills could be looking at, right? They might need another defensive lineman. He's 30. What is Calais Campbell? 38 now? Just have to go back and look. What Calais Campbell? Is he 38? Hold on. Hold on one second here. 38 years old. Wow, it's crazy. And he's having a good year. I mean, but the question about that is if the Bills are interested in there, what's the division tax on a trade, right? Does that make it worthwhile? But interesting trade deadline coming up here at 4 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. Mike in Orchard Park. Hi, Mike. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
You got it. I'm good.
Hey, I appreciate you giving me a voice on your platform. Just talking about the game yesterday, you know, there were some plays taken off the board, some touchdowns, and, you know, the game was a little closer than I like. But what I really want to talk about, I wasn't sitting in section 203 because I was almost directly right behind the field goal post. And when Tyler Bass kicked that field goal, I was just amazed. Like, you know, I'm in my mid-30s, and it was like one of my best experiences in the stadium with fans. You know, like, this team has faced a lot of adversity this year. And for Tyler to come back and make that kick, you know, I just love it. I just love that, you know, Sean's not perfect, but I just love the program he's built here. And, you know, like every year we got Josh Allen and Sean McDermott, you know, we have a weight, you know, to the Super Bowl, man. So not trying to get too high up, but long season still. But, you know, I feel very confident where the team stands right now, and hopefully we can make a run.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. By the way, Mike, I'll say one of the cool things I like is watching videos from the fans in the stands when things like that happen. I've been doing that this morning. Pretty cool, man. Thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate it. I've been doing that this morning, watching some of the videos from the fans in the stands after the kick. Pretty cool. Let's go to Frank in Long Island. Hi, Frank. You're on WGR.
Sal, just want to let you know before I get to my point. That when I think of the Bills' experience as a fan, and I know other fans do, you're as big a part of that as Josh Allen or Sean McDermott or anybody on the field. Thank you so much for all you do for us. I guess what I'm looking for clarity on is if we rewind to Thursday Night Football, the Garrett Wilson one-handed amazing catch, shin in, knee out, and then we fast forward to the challenge.
Okay.
Tua trying to dive for that, his shin clearly down. Where is the difference?
Well, I think his shin is down after he made the line to gain. The question is...
Okay, so they weren't calling the knee down?
No. Here's what I believe. I believe Sean McDermott was challenging that he started his dive sooner, or maybe that he was down before the line to gain. But from what I'm gathering here, the rule is when you dive forward, it's not where the dive starts, it's where the first body part touches as you're diving forward. And the first body part touched, and the screenshots I'm getting are he was right at the line to gain. Very tough to overturn.
Understood completely. Thank you, Sal.
Yeah, you got it. And I've been trying to look into this, Frank, today, okay? I just want you to know because it is a good question because they changed the rule a few years ago about where you spot it when a guy slides and dives and it's the start and it's all that kind of stuff. So I think that's what the thought. And to me, and also, Frank, as I said earlier today, I think McDermott in that moment saying, look, if I challenge and I'm right, we win the game. If I challenge and I'm wrong, I'm using a timeout, which I'm already going to use a timeout anyway. We know that because he started using his timeouts there.
Yeah, I thought it was a great challenge. I would have challenged it too. No problem with that. And obviously with Perry upstairs, he saw something.
Yeah.
I just, you know, me and you talked about it a couple of weeks ago with the Jets coach Olbidge throwing the challenge flag and us having a little weird discussion about that.
Yes.
I still think the John Perry hire is a great hire. I just think some of these rules are just, they're ebbing and flowing week to week a little bit.
And listen, I mean, I will say this about John Perry and the hire, and I agree, it's a very good hire. He also just, he can say to Sean McDermott, and I don't know what the conversation is going on during the game, but I imagine it's something like, Sean, this is really close. Like, you might be able to win this, right? He's not going to know exactly how it's going to turn out, right? I mean, he can only also have his best educated guess.
100%.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Frank. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Rob in Chicago. That opens up phone lines, by the way. We got plenty of phone lines open right now. We'll get to what happened in the NFL yesterday as well as we go forward on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. So call up at 803-0550. Rob is up next. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Sal. Great to talk to you this morning. Appreciate taking the call. Also good to see you at training camp this summer's first time there, and I really appreciate taking the time just to say hi. It's good seeing you.
You got it.
My question for you is, wondering if you noticed in the game yesterday anything with Josh's throwing motion. It seemed like he took a went down, maybe got his ankle rolled up, and then at some point it felt like he was short throwing, like getting a lot of, you know, he had the targets he had to Kincaid, stuff going at people's ankles. I was wondering if you just felt like his throwing motion was normal yesterday, or if there was something off, because I felt like he had a lot more underthrows than I would normally see from Josh, and I know you've probably seen more of it. And
yeah, I was a little concerned about that too. I didn't know what was happening there. It did seem like that to me, and I don't know if the ankle bothered him enough where he couldn't like keep that strength up on his, you know, as he was throwing. I'm not really sure if that had anything to do with it, Rob. He did have a couple of those underthrows a little bit late in the game. It was a little bit after that. So, yeah, I'm not sure. But, look, it also could just be him trying a little bit too hard and too much and too quickly, because they were blitzing the heck out of Josh Allen yesterday. And I think the Bills struggled with some of the blitz concepts that the Dolphins came up with. And I think Josh had to kind of get rid of the ball a little quicker than he wanted to a few times.
Yeah, I appreciate that feedback. So keep up the great work. Love what you do out there.
Yeah, thank you, Rob. I appreciate it. I noticed it too, and I wondered for sure. But I also wonder if Josh also, like, they were heating him up, man. Like, is he trying to get the ball out, you know, a little bit quicker than what he wanted? All right, we got some phone calls coming in. We'll get to those in a minute. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to jump on board the Northtown Automotive Extra Points Show. In the meantime, actually, Josh, while you're doing that, if you could play some NFL music, and we'll start to get to Josh. Josh is doing everything. He's taking your calls. He's on the line right now with somebody who wants to get on. He's playing some NFL music. I'll tell you what happened yesterday. Let's run through week number 9 in the National Football League. The Falcons beat the Dallas Cowboys 27-21. Cowboys now 3-5. What did Dak Prescott say? We suck. Yeah, they're not good. The Cowboys are terrible, to be quite honest with you. How did they beat the Steelers? Because the Steelers aren't actually all that good. But they beat them. And I only say that because I still can't believe, like, here's Pittsburgh on a bye week. Right, I don't even want to talk about Pittsburgh. I'm looking at the standings right now. That's what got me rolling on that. Let me go back to the game yesterday. Falcons 6-3. They're looking pretty good in the NFC South. In case you just tuned in and you missed it, I said it earlier. The Saints, after starting 2-0, have lost 7 straight and have fired their head coach, Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen has been fired by the New Orleans Saints. They lose to Carolina yesterday. They're both 2-7. All right. Elsewhere, I gave a chance. I was wrong. See? All of you tell me Sal Capaccio just thinks he's right all the time, man. I'm going to admit I'm wrong. I'm going to admit right here. Mark it down. I was wrong yesterday and all week. I gave the Broncos fighting chance to beat the Ravens. They did not have a fighting chance based on the score. I haven't gone back and watched the game. 41-10, the Ravens beat the Broncos yesterday. Another fantastic game for Lamar Jackson. 280 and 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. And for Derrick Henry, 106 yards on the ground. Pair of TDs, averaged 4.6 yards a carry. Bo Nix, 19 of 33, 223, has an interception. That's not a great Ravens pass defense. But the Broncos couldn't take advantage of it, and the Ravens did a really nice job against what is really a good Broncos defense. Just told you about the Panthers beating the Saints. It was 23-22, the final score. Chuba Hubbard with a 16-yard run with less than 3 minutes left to win that game, essentially. Alvin Kamara for the Saints goes for a 155. Derek Carr throws for 236, but how about Bryce Young? Keeping it alive, at least. Didn't have a great game, but did enough. 171 and a touchdown for the Carolina Panthers quarterback. The Bengals, they didn't have a good start. The Raiders jumped on top of them a bit early. Raiders were up 7-0. It was 10-10 at one point, but then the Bengals took over. They scored, let's see, a touchdown. We went from 10-10 to 31-10. Three straight touchdowns. 21 straight points, but we always say unanswered. While those were unanswered, then they answered. The Raiders did. And the Raiders did actually make it a, let's see, 38-17, 31-17 game in the fourth quarter. But then the Bengals took back over, and here's Joe Burrow. Five touchdown passes. Joe Burrow, 27 of 39, five touchdown passes and an interception. And for the Raiders, they need a quarterback. Gardner Minshew, Desmond Ridder, they both throw. One throws for 17 passes, one throws 16 passes. I don't even know if there's an injury in this game. They just can't figure it out at quarterback. Raiders are 2-7. They're in that bottom group. The Bengals are 4-5. They have a chance to really, really keep their season alive here with a big game Thursday night at the Baltimore Ravens. Chargers. I mean, first half. You see the first half stats here? Over 200 yards passing in the first half for Justin Herbert, but then he only ended up with 282. So I don't know if they just slowed the game down and just started pounding the ball. They ran J.K. Dobbins 14 times for 85 yards. Herbert, 18 of 27 for 282 and a pair of touchdowns. For the Browns, Jameis Winston throws 46 times, completes 26 of them for 235, a touchdown, and three interceptions. That's Jameis. What he giveth, he taketh away, and vice versa. Last week, this great game. This week, he comes back with three interceptions. And the Browns fall to 2-7. How many 2-7 teams are there? Quite a bit, it looks like. And the Chargers move on to 5-3. Chargers now, only two games back of the Chiefs. They do play them one more time, right? Because they played them once, and they lost 17-10. They play in several weeks. Week after the Bills play the Chiefs. Oh, no, a couple weeks after the Bills play the Chiefs. Looks like a Sunday night game. December 8th, actually, is when the Chargers and Chiefs play. And that one game, of course, that's going to be an Arrowhead, right? Another night game at Arrowhead for the Chiefs, like tonight. We'll talk about that in a little while. Commanders, they beat the Giants. Something on the Browns I wanted to get to. So they're calling for Ken Dorsey's job in Cleveland. No surprise when you're 2-7. But Daryl Reiter, who I follow from The Fan in Cleveland, he tweeted something this morning about how, hey, the Raiders made all these Raiders, by the way, fired their offensive coordinator and a few other assistants. He said the Browns should do the same and start with Ken Dorsey. That's what he wrote. So interesting that that's starting to happen now in Cleveland. Commanders 27-22. You wonder about Kevin Stefanski and his job status. Two-time coach of the year, though. Jaden Daniels continues to impress. 15 of 22, 209 yards, only but two touchdowns. Very efficient. The Giants get two passing touchdowns from Daniel Jones, 20-26. He had a nice game. But 27-22, the final score. Giants also 2-7. I got to look at how many 2-7 teams there are right now in the NFL. Let's go through this. Check this out. In the AFC alone, Browns, Jags, Raiders, Patriots. In the NFC, Panthers, Saints, Giants. Seven teams are 2-7 in the NFL right now. Vying for that number one overall draft pick, I guess. You're not dead at 2-7, but I mean, very, 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 very high. It'd be amazing for a team to come back to the playoffs from that. One of those 2-7 teams is the Patriots. Talked about them a little bit earlier. They score a touchdown in the last play of regulation, and they kick the extra point instead of going for two, which they should have done on the road at Tennessee. Just go for two. I mean, Ramondre Stevenson was averaging. Drake May. Averaged 11.9 yards. Drake May can run. No, they couldn't run the ball outside of him, though. Maybe that's why they didn't go for two. Stevenson, 10 carries, 16 yards. Not good. Against a good Titans defense. All right, but so what? You're the Patriots. Go for two in that situation. They didn't do it. Drake May, 29 of 41, 206, a touchdown and two interceptions. Kid can run, though, man. He's got some athleticism. Eight carries, 95 yards. 11.9 yards a carry for the Titans. Of course, Tony Pollard, who I did not play in my fantasy league, but he didn't score, though. 128 yards. Nice day, though, for Tony Pollard on the ground. Mason Rudolph throws for a pair of touchdowns and 240 yards for the Tennessee Titans. All right, we'll get to the rest of the games in a minute. Let's get back out to the phone lines. Mike on a cell. Hi, Mike. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
2 weeks, the Bills play the Chiefs. I was just wondering if you know, does the CBS have the rights to that game?
Yes.
Because
it will not be flexed.
It can't get flexed.
Let me say it this way. I think what happens is, I think as you get on, they can't protect the game when the schedule begins, but I think they get like one protection as it goes on. I would say this. That game's not going to get flexed. It's not going to Sunday night. And especially because the Bills are playing Sunday night the week before that, by the way. And the Chiefs are playing Sunday night the week after that. So they're not doing that.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Phil.
Yeah, you got it. 425. It's a good call. Good question. I have to remember what Mike North said. I believe what he said was, teams can't protect games when the schedule comes out. Like, early on, like, we're protecting this, we're going to have that. But once the season starts, as you get towards flexing, they can, like, protect one of their games. But listen, the Sunday night schedule, the next few weeks, the Bills play Sunday night, December 1st. Let me get to this. I'm going to just have this right for you, okay? We got to do this right. I want to make sure I get this right. The Chiefs play. Here's the Bills schedule. The Bills play the Chiefs at 4:25 on November 17th. 2 weeks later, the Bills play Sunday night. Okay, after their bye. The Chiefs play Sunday night against the Bills. And 4:25 against the Bills. And they also have, it's the Chargers a few weeks later. My apologies, Mike. I gave you the wrong information about the Sunday night schedule. My apologies on that. That being said, that game's not getting flexed. CBS is going to have that game. Let's go to Dave in West Palm Beach. So apologize for that, Mike, but you wouldn't have to worry about it. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Sal. How you doing? Love the show, buddy.
Thank you.
So, listen, I just got a little quick attaboy for the Bills fans yesterday. So I'm walking in there with two of my friends from Florida. Been up there before for games. And my brother. And we're walking along, and I see this kid walking, Mexican kid. And he's got all his Miami Dolphins garb on. It's all decked out. And I look over and say, hey, dude, this is what's going on? And he says, yeah, I'm up here for the game. You know, I just want to feel the vibe. I go, where are you from? He says, Brownsville, Texas. I go, come on. He goes, Brownsville, Texas. What are you doing? He goes, I just heard so much about this. I just wanted to experience it. I go, well, dude, hang with us, right? So we stayed with this kid for 3 hours. We went to the Big Tree, went to the 97 Rock, the garage bar, everything. And everybody treated these guys with class. We were the garage bar. It made me feel so good because I have had a bad experience once in a night game when everybody was all drunk up from drinking all day. But I couldn't have been prouder yesterday because that's the way it's supposed to be. And everybody was just so kind to these guys. This kid, he was calling his mother, Ma, you wouldn't believe this place. These people are crazy, but they're great, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I want to say attaboy all the Bills fans yesterday. Thank you.
You know, Dave, everybody's got a bad story, but the great ones like this, I think, far and outweigh them. There's no doubt. And I have a similar experience with my friends who are still in town today. I'm going to get to that a little bit a while later, but I have a buddy that comes up every year. He's a big Dolphins fan, and he loves coming, and he says how great.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Great people treat them, so I appreciate you saying that.
Sweet.
Yeah, you got
it. You bet.
You got it, Dave. Thanks, I appreciate that. I'll get to that a little while. I'll tell you some good stuff about that. Let's go to Jeremy in Chicago. Hi, Jeremy. I'm good. Two calls from Chicago today, Jeremy. I love it. We're big out west. Midwest.
So,
big in the Midwest.
I've been listening all day. I wasn't going to call, but my son and I, he's 9 years old. We try to come in for almost every home game. And I had a scheduling conflict. Wasn't going to be able to come in on Saturday for the game. And I said to him, let's just skip this week. He said, no, it's Miami. We got to go. We came in, we got on a 6:30 flight on Sunday, went through Washington, got to the game, came to the game, and he looked at me after the game. He said it was totally worth it. And it was just like the whole atmosphere after the game. I listened to all these people calling in and complaining about this and that. Yesterday was a day to remember. It was awesome. And that was really the reason I wanted to call. Yeah. You know, coming back late at night last night, my son was exhausted, had to go to school today. That was the deal. But, you know, I know you, you're a parent and stuff like that. Yeah. It was cool yesterday. It was just fun.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good time in the stadium, right? I mean, you get those games like the perfect game against New England where it's just a party all game and you know they're going to win. And then you get a game like yesterday where it's just back and forth, stressful as heck, and you could just let that stress out in the best of ways at the very end. You know what I mean, Jeremy?
Yeah, it was cool. People are hugging each other, high-fiving. Yeah. It was awesome. So yeah. I just wanted to call and say, go Bills. And
you got it, Jeremy.
See you next week.
Yeah, you got it, man. Thanks for reaching out from out there in Chicago, the Windy City. Matthew in Grand Island. Hi, Matthew. What's up?
Hey, Sal. Just a quick question on possibly getting Curtis Samuel more involved more. Yeah. I was curious was on that and seeing what we can do to lean on him more, especially with Keon possibly being injured for a little bit.
It's a great question, Matthew. I thought about this morning. Like, boy, if you're going to lose Keon Coleman for any length of time, and we don't know that yet. We'll hear from Sean McDermott. We know he looks like he had some sort of hand or wrist injuries in the locker room with a brace on. But I don't know. I mean, you got to have a guy like Curtis Samuel stand up. He should have been by now more involved. I don't know the reason. I don't know exactly what's going on there. Was it the turf toe injury that set him back or he's dealing with? Is it not grasping the concepts of the offense? I find that hard to believe because Joe Brady and him worked together and so well in 2020. It's a great question. Right. It would be a great benefit for this team if Curtis Samuel could step up and be the guy that they thought he'd be coming into the season.
Okay.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Matthew. I wish I could answer why. I really don't. Really don't know. All right, great way to end this segment with Bob from Syracuse, because I just want to say Syracuse is going to a bowl game, Bob. I know you. I don't care if you're a fan or not. I don't even know if you are, but I know I am, yeah. And they're going to a bowl game, and I'm happy about it, Bob. Big win against Virginia Tech on Saturday.
Hell yeah, that was a great win. Too bad for Tech that the quarterback got banged up.
Yeah.
Because he could have walked in to tie that game. So,
yeah.
But anyway, I wanted to talk about the possibility of maybe bringing Shaq Lawson back, since he knows, I mean, he's available. He knows the system. It wouldn't be very difficult to get him up to speed if he's in shape, and he can do a lot of the our edge players can't do right now, which is set the edge, which is one of the things that's missing on the D-line. I just want to know your thoughts on that. So I'll hang up and listen, buddy. Thanks.
Yeah, you got it. That's a really good question, and it's a name I have not heard, but it's one that should probably be thought about, because we know the Bills like to bring in guys that understand their system, guys that are familiar and that they're familiar with. I haven't thought about Shaq. I haven't heard anything about that. The only thing I would tell you about Shaq Lawson, if they were to go down that road, he's been in this league now since, when did he come in the league? 2015, right? Or 16. So, I mean, his minimum salary is going to be a little bit higher than most guys. And they don't have a lot of money, but, you know, anybody you bring in might have to be a veteran anyway. Good name. Good thought. I haven't thought about that. And you're right. I mean, he is an end, but he's a good edge rush, edge setting defensive end. We'll see. I wonder again. I go back to, is Calais Campbell available? That'd be a guy that really helped the Bills, but would the Dolphins really trade him in the division? Even knowing they're 2-7, you got to think, could they go on a run and see the Bills in the playoffs? You don't want to do that. They've already played him twice. Is there a division tax? That's a guy whose name could be on the market. But interesting, tomorrow, 4 p.m., is the trade deadline. We'll take a timeout. We'll get to that. Sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, and I'll wrap up what happened yesterday in the NFL after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Ty Johnson going to get the handoff here. Cutback lane is open, 35-30, and he's down to the 25-yard line. Jordan Poyer on the tackle. Eric, they went with five defensive linemen, and they beat it anyway. Fakes the handoff, fakes the throw, comes back. Wide open in the end zone is Mac Hollins for a 2-yard touchdown reception. The former Dolphin across the back of the end zone as the Bills give the Dolphins a taste of their own medicine with some misdirection.
Chris Brown on the call on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network right there. All right, let's get back to yesterday. What happened in the NFL? 4:05 for o'clock hour games, I should say. Arizona Cardinals, a 20-point win over the Chicago Bears. You know, Chicago, you'll be fine. Chicago's going to be fine. I don't know about the coach, to be quite honest with you, like what they're doing going forward and if it's going to work out there. But Caleb Williams will be fine in this game. Didn't have a great day. Didn't turn the ball over. 22 of 41, 217 yards, no touchdowns. He 22 of 41, no touchdowns, no interceptions, though. Didn't turn the ball over, like I said. He's got some good receivers. Roma Dunze did have 104 yards receiving in this one. But the Cardinals come back from down 7-6, and then, 14-6? Where's the score here? Let me see. Hold on. 7-6. See, 7-0, 7-3, 7-6 Arizona. Okay. They were really, really down, I guess. They took control of the game in the second half, though, 29-9. And maybe the story should be the Cardinals here. In this season, they're putting together 5-4. They're still alive. They're a decent team. They're not great. They can play some really nice football. We saw that here in Buffalo for a half. We saw it last week in Miami. This game, 29-9 over the Chicago Bears. The Arizona Cardinals, 5-4. I'll get to the standings in a little while as well. Jacksonville loses at Philadelphia, 28-23. And I'm seeing a lot of, oh my God, Nick Sirianni almost blew it around. And listening to some of the talking heads this morning, 22-0, Philadelphia had the lead. Jacksonville comes back and loses 28-23. They actually had the ball, apparently, late in the game with a chance to maybe go down and win the game. In this game, Jalen Hurts throws for 230 and a pair of touchdowns. Saquon Barkley has one of the runs of the year when he hurdles a guy backward, essentially. It was amazing. I saw it. The highlights today, 159 yards rushing, 5.9 yards a carry, a touchdown for Saquon Barkley. Great day for him. For the Jags, Trevor Lawrence, 2 picks, no touchdowns. Who do they got catching the ball for them? Ingram, Washington, Brian Thomas, 2 for 22. Jags fall to 2-7, one of those 2-7 teams we talked about. I mean, right now, how can you not love what the Detroit Lions are doing and putting together? They're 7-1. They absolutely just smacked the Green Bay Packers at their place yesterday, in the rain, by the way. Jared Goff, another very high efficient game, 18 of 22 for 145 and a touchdown. David Montgomery runs for 73 yards. They have just so many weapons, they do, the Lions. It's just, they're so tough. Even though they have no Aiden Hutchinson, we'll see if they trade for somebody here. Are they going to try for Za'Darius Smith? That's been some of the rumors coming out that maybe they'll try to make the play for the Browns defender. Packers. Josh Jacobs, 95 yards rushing. Jordan Love, 273 passing, but an interception, no touchdowns. Jaden Reed goes for a 113. Packers fall to 6-3. They're still okay. But that's a tough NFC North. NFC West is looking very interesting now that the Rams win in overtime against the Seattle Seahawks. DeMarcus Robinson with a 39-yard touchdown pass and catch from Matthew Stafford in overtime to win on a walk-off overtime touchdown, 26-20. This one went back and forth all day. Seattle, they fall to 4-5. Remember when the Seattle Seahawks were, 3-0? It's just a league, man. It's the way the league works. Seattle started the season 3-0, then they lost 3, then they won, and then they lost 2 more. They've lost 5 of their last 6, including to the Bills. The Rams are putting together a little nice run here, though. The Rams are now 4-4. They've won 3 in a row after starting the season 1-4. They get the Dolphins, the Patriots, the Eagles, the Saints, then the Bills. We'll see what happens here with the Rams. Puka Nacua ejected in this game. I did not see the reason for the ejection. I guess he made contact with an official or something. Is that what happened, Josh? Puka Nacua made contact with an official. Is that what happened?
No, it was he made contact with another player.
Oh, he punched someone.
It was a punch? It was a pretty weak punch, okay, in my opinion. All right. If you see the replay, the player pushes him a lot harder than he ever swung.
Okay.
It just so happened that it looked like he was going to try to throw a sucker punch at him, and it just didn't connect at all. So, I don't know. In my opinion, it was a little questionable. I don't know. The replay doesn't show a super aggressive punch, in my opinion.
26-20, Rams win that one. They jump the Seahawks in the West. Vikings, late last night, beat the Colts 21-13. This was not a very aesthetically pleasing game in the first half. But the Vikings kind of woke up offensively in the second half. They get things going right away. The Vikings move to 6-2 after 2 losses. They dropped the Colts to 4-5. An interesting team we're going to talk about in a minute because that's the team the Bills play next week. The Vikings, Sam Darnold, 28 of 34 for 290 and 3 touchdowns. He also threw 2 interceptions. Justin Jefferson threw a pass that was completed for 22 yards. For the Colts, Joe Flacco, 16 of 27, 179 and an interception. Jonathan Taylor, 13 for 48, 3.7 yards a carry. Once again, a team I'll talk about here in a minute when we look ahead to our next game. Tonight, big game for the Buccaneers at 4-4 in the NFC South, but a tough, tough task at Kansas City, the only unbeaten team left in the league, and the Buccaneers have to do it very undermanned, right? No Godwin, obviously. I don't think Mike Evans is playing this game, right? They're banged up. They're a couple of the running backs, but I think Bucky Irving might be even questionable. They're going to have a monster performance from, you know, their defense here because they have not been good. The Buccaneers' defense has not been good lately. Here are the numbers they've been giving up. 31, 41, 27, 36 the last 4 weeks. And now they're facing a Kansas City team who isn't lighting the world on fire on offense, but they're finding their way a little bit. 26, 28, and 27 the last 3 weeks scoring points. Cannot expect the Buccaneers to beat the Chiefs. Hey, but it's the NFL. You never know what happens. That's tonight's Monday Night Football game, Buccaneers at Chiefs, 8:15 p.m. Eastern start. Taking a look at the standings, like I said, the Bills have such a stranglehold on the AFC East. 7-2 on the season. The next closest competition is 3-6. The Bills are essentially 4.5 games ahead of their next closest competitor with only, 7 weeks to play? 8 weeks to play. It's amazing. Jets 3-6, Dolphins 2-6, Patriots 2-7. And the Bills still get the Patriots twice. And the Jets once. AFC North tightening up after the Ravens win yesterday. They're now half game behind Pittsburgh, and they play soon, right? Next week. Oh, yeah, that's right. Schedule now becomes the AFC North starts playing each other. These teams haven't even played each other much. They're starting to play each other this week with a Thursday night game between the Cincinnati Bengals at the Baltimore Ravens. That's going to be a very interesting Thursday night game for a lot of reasons. And, you know, Burrow against Lamar and where the Bengals are. Can they salvage their season? They can definitely do it if they win at Baltimore. Houston, with their loss to the Jets, still in control of the AFC South, and they should remain that way considering their competition. Indy's next close to them, 6-3 against 4-5. Kansas City in charge of the AFC West, but the Chargers are right there, 2 games back. They still have to play each other once. You just have to hope that Kansas City loses a game in that situation. How about the Washington Commanders still doing what they're doing in the NFC East? Half game over the Philadelphia Eagles, 7-2 against 6-2. When do they play again? Let's see. Have they played at all? Oh, they haven't played at all yet. 2 weeks they play, and then they play again in week number 16. All right. That's Commanders-Eagles. Elsewhere in the NFC, the North is very good. Chicago getting back to who we kind of thought they would be this year. They're a 500 team. Nice for them. I think they're going to be okay going forward, but they're in a tough division. Detroit 7-1, Minnesota 6-2, Green Bay 6-3, Chicago 4-4. They are the antithesis of the AFC East right now, basically, as a group. Outside of Buffalo, of course. NFC South, Atlanta taking charge. Tampa needs a win tonight. They're the only threat to them, and if they lose tonight, Atlanta can kind of start really thinking about, you know, wrapping this thing up. I mean, I shouldn't say it. It's 2 games, right? But, man, I can't see Tampa staying with them outside of maybe a win tonight. But they will play. They played already twice, right? Have they played twice? Let's see. Bucks. Yeah, they played twice. You don't even have opportunity. That's Buccaneers-Falcons I'm talking about. And then finally, talked about the NFC West being very tight now. There's only one game separating the top and the bottom. Cardinals at 5-4, Rams 4-4, Niners 4-4, Seahawks 4-5. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll get to our Lake Hour look ahead to the next game. Can't wait to talk about that because it's a big one for the Bills at the Indianapolis Colts. And of course, sit up, stand down, and hey, buddy. Okay, it is time now for our Lake Hour look ahead to the next game. Brought to you by Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers. It is the perfect time of the year for these Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers, which I love. You will love too. Been telling you about them here now since the start of the season. We're getting into some weather that's the fall elite season. Think about it. On the lake, little hoodie, Lake Hour. What else would you want, right? Think about football. And, of course, Rich Pete, big Bills fan. He's one of the brains behind it, along with Wyatt Russell, son of Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. We've had them on here. Always telling you about Lake Hour. It's a great, great drink. I'm not a beer drinker, folks. I love my seltzers. I love my Lake Hour. You will, too. Lake Hour look ahead to the next game. The next game is the Indianapolis Colts. Next week, the Bills take on the Colts. It is a 1 o'clock Eastern time start in Indianapolis. An Indianapolis team that's now deciding again who should be their starting quarterback. Should it be Joe Flacco? Should it be Anthony Richardson? I thought the move to Joe Flacco was really going to benefit this team, but he did not play a good game last night. 16 of 27, 179 yards, and an interception. Of course, he's not as mobile as Anthony Richardson. Not sure exactly what they're going to do other than they will feed Jonathan Taylor. They should. If they not, it's criminal on the Colts' part. Why not? The Bills are having trouble stopping the run right now. Jonathan Taylor, though, only 13 rushes in a close game yesterday. They are not feeding him the way they should. I think the Bills are going to see a heavy dose of Jonathan Taylor. Not sure what quarterback. Probably Joe Flacco. They said it was going forward. He would be the quarterback. But we'll see. Next week, the Buffalo Bills have a chance to go 8-2 on this season with a win at the Indianapolis Colts. That is your Lake Hour look ahead. Once again, brought to you by Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers. Pick them up at your favorite local liquor store today. Go to lakehour.com. Lakehour.com. You'll see all the great flavors right there. All right. Let's start with, I'm going to start with stand down today. I got a couple different kind of setup stand down for you. This comes to me courtesy of my friend Rich Spedaleri, Spits on Sports. Rich has been a friend of mine a long time, but back to our Florida days, he does sports talk up in the New England area, down in Florida as well. He's all over the place doing a great job. He wrote to me. I did not know this. He said, Sal, did you know that Tua's passing yard on, like, betting lines and apps and FanDuel and all that, 243.5 yesterday? He was at 254. Then they had the final play where they lateraled it. They went minus 24, and he finished under. My stand down is a bad beat. Stand down on that bad beat. Oh, my gosh. I mean, you could have won it, of course. With every bad beat comes a big win, right? Tua's passing yardage total got flipped from winning to losing based on the final play. And then Jalen Waddle's total for the day goes to negative yardage because of it. It's unbelievable. But that's what happened on the final play when they had a minus 24. Thanks, Rich, for the stat. I didn't know that. I can't even verify. I trust you, Rich, that you are giving me that right. 254. He finished with, what, 231? So, yeah, it's crazy. He had that. All right. Told you something different today. Sit up. We're going to sit up on voting, folks. Tomorrow's your day. Go exercise your right. Exercise your right to vote. We have a privilege in this country to go and vote, but make it your responsibility tomorrow. I'm just telling you, never get political on the show. I'm not going to do it now. Just please go out and vote. Exercise your right tomorrow. It is election day. Should be a nice day as well. Let's get to Hey Buddy. Want me to just do it here? Let's do it. I don't need the open. Here you go. Here's my buddies, all right? My buddies are named Mike and Doug and Jimbo and Aaron. Aaron with an E, a female, because they are my friends in town from Florida. I just met Aaron, who's Jimbo's girlfriend, this weekend. They come up every year for the Dolphins-Bills game because Mike, my very good friend from Florida, is a huge Dolphins fan, loves coming to the stadium. And Jimbo's a Patriots fan, believe it or not. And Doug's a Bears fan, believe it or not. But they love it so much. And they're still in town. And when I leave this show, I'm going to pick them up at their hotel. They're getting out. They have to go catch their flight tonight. Taking them for beef on weck because she has never had beef on weck. Aaron, you're going to love your beef on weck. And I got a great story for you real quick. Jimbo is a big Patriots fan, but he's also a big Deion Dawkins fan, just like these guys. They met Deion last year. They all bought Deion Dawkins jerseys. She did as well. She wore one. And she said after the game, Sal, I've gone to a lot of Patriots games. Grew up a Patriots fan. I think I'm a Bills fan now. Great job, Bills Mafia. Great job, because you made that stadium so awesome yesterday that I had friends in town who flipped from the Patriots to the Bills. I don't know if she's really going to flip for the full time, but she's a Bills fan now. Thank you for treating my friends so great, Bills Mafia. Thank you for a great game yesterday to make today's show awesome as well. One Bills Live up next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.